This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 103 of Sunday's Supplement. I've got an amazing fact for you.
Go on then.
103, right, I checked on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Is a strictly non-palindromic number. It is also the emergency number for Belarus.
Right.
But this is the best bit. It's the atomic number of Laurentium.
Laurentium. As in Lawrence, as in Izzy, as in I am an element, I am the best element.
Well, you're not the best element. You've only got a half-life of 3.6 hours.
Yeah, but those 3.6 hours, I can give everyone cancer.
Maybe, but in 3.6 hours' time, which is less than the length of one of the Lord of the Rings films, you'll be half as big.
Yeah, no, you will be half as big, but then another 3.6 hours, you'll be a quarter as big as you were before, because it halves each time, so it never stops, because you can get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, until you're just one little proton just going, pah.
That was a dig at me, wasn't it? You think yeah. I'm one little proton going...
I've got a half-life of 4.5 million years, Simon.
No, you haven't.
Which means in 4.5 million years, I'll still be half as funny as I am now. So
not funny at all.
No. Very funny. Very funny and beautiful.
I'll be half as fat.
That's not true. You are existentially as fat. It's almost like you are not decaying. You are going in reverse. You are the ultimate Time Lord when it comes to eating stuff and putting on weight. A particle generator.
So are you? Everyone is, surely.
No. I am perfect and completely untouchable.
You're not. You're a non-palindromic.
I am a non-palindromic. Because Izzy, the way it's spelled ISZI, looks like 1521. So what's that? Yeah? Is that a palindrome?
Isn't it a pure palindrome in that you can put it in a mirror and it will read the same?
No, it won't read the same time. If you put it in a mirror, it will read, is this Izzy? Izzy, it'll say, actually.
Yeah, that's my point, you twit.
Izzy, Zizzy.
No, it'll just say Izzy, Izzy.
Let's get busy.
Anyway, yeah. Did you buy a newspaper?
I did. I bought the News of the World.
I said,
News of the World.
Did you
News
buy a newspaper?
World. News of the World. Yeah.
Although I can't talk, I bought the Mail on Sunday.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. Just right wing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it is. It's right wing.
Yeah. And it's a tabloid versus a Berliner. I believe.
A Berliner? That's a donut.
No.
Yes, it is.
Well, no, but it's also the size
he
of the
He also
newspaper.
Said he was a newspaper. Is that what you're saying? Is that what Kennedy did? He went, I am a newspaper donut.
Yeah.
I am. And everybody went, "Ray!" Because he stood on a wall. And it's difficult to stand on walls. Dinosaurs didn't even know they existed. That was a reference to last week's show. Look at me go.
I don't think Kennedy stood on a wall when he said that.
He did stand on a wall.
No.
He stood on a wall with very tight trousers and said, I'm not drunk. And his top glittered.
No, you're confusing him with David Hasselhoff.
But he is the same as David Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff has a little watch on his wrist called Ziggy, right? And
no!
He jumps in bodies.
No! Stop confusing Knight Rider with Quantum Leap.
What's confusing Knight Rider with Quantum Leap? Quantum Leap, they don't have any pubic hair. No, that's Baywatch. Anyway.
Stop it.
What are you going to cut out and keep from your newspaper, Simon?
Don't know.
What
I
do you
literally
don't know?
Don't know. I can't find anything.
There must be something.
Well, there's two or three things that aren't really worth talking about. One is the tech column by Rob Waugh.
Rob Waugh. Again, him. That's the Rob Waugh that replaced Piers Morgan, isn't it? Rob Waugh. Things you must not do. Rob and go to war.
Yeah.
And that's what he names himself after, for he is evil.
Except he didn't replace Piers Morgan, because Piers Morgan's back this week.
Oh, no.
But anyway, he's talking about this new camcorder that Sony've got out, which I want because it's got the ability to put on adjustable lenses. So you can actually make quite shallow depth of field films, which makes video look a bit like film. And it's like what you really want, because video looks a bit rubbish.
But do you actually video anything?
Yeah.
What do you video?
Flowers.
Flowers.
Cats.
Because they're known for their great action, aren't they, flowers?
Yeah. I could make a really good action movie about flowers and cats. It would be called Flowers and Cats.
But it'd be a joke because that would be the names of the people in it, and like Tom Cruise could be in it, and
would
Cameron
he be flowers
Diaz.
Or cats?
Well, she'd have to be cats.
What would Tom Cruise be?
Flowers. It's not a difficult concept. Why are you asking questions?
I'm just trying to imagine Tom Cruise as a flower, and what flower? I think he might be a petunia.
Or a daisy.
I was actually thinking daisy. Or maybe a sunflower, because he's quite bright, but not in that sense.
Let's not get into Scientology. The new Xbox Slim is out, and it looks hideous.
Okay. I'm more of a PS3 girl than an Xbox Slim.
Yeah, me too. And I'm going to read you the best bit in the whole supplements. I'm plastered from head to foot in brown, glutinous mud. It's in my hair. It encrusts my ears and eyebrows, and the fluorescent blue of my waterproof nylon oversuit is invisible. I can barely move. I'm lying on my side in a tiny limestone tunnel, trying to wriggle steeply upwards into a space that's marginally wider. First, I have to negotiate a vice-like constriction in the rock. I manage to get an arm through, then my head and a shoulder. I scrabble against the walls with my Wellingtons, searching blindly for a foothold to push against. And that's the best bit in the paper.
What the hell was happening there? Was that sex with Anne Widdecombe?
I thought you might think it sounded a bit sexual, but it's about caving.
Oh, I don't like the idea of that. I don't like the idea of that one little bit.
Because it's pitch dark and perilous, Britain's largest tunnel system stretches beneath three counties, and for decades, cavers have only dreamed of discovering a link between them.
Oh dear, no, it's
until
just very...
now.
Oh, I see. So they've actually found, like, there's a whole underground network. So it's a bit like where, Is it Magician's Nephew where Puddle Glum and all of the Narnia people go underground and then they find the sky and it's really like amazing. One of my favourite ones, that. But it was ruined because one of the nurses say, oh, don't worry about the snow. Soon the rain will wash away all of the nasty snow. And that annoyed me as a kid because I thought, no, snow is good.
Snow's better.
Yeah.
So is your newspaper supplement cutout better than mine?
Yes, it's very good, in fact, because what it is this amazing thing. I bought News of the World a little bit early. Like, I bought it on Friday and I went to Reading. Which, weirdly, Reading, you could also read it as Reading, which links beautifully with this interview that I got with the novelist, poet and general amazing A.F. Harold. I have with me here the poet, the author, the beard that is A.F. Harold.
Hello, Izzy. That's me. Yes, this is my beard speaking to you through the magic of your sock pop shield windshield. Homemade. It's very beautiful.
Thanks very much. It's got a big scar on it, but that's only when I sewed.
It's hand cared for, isn't it? It's repaired by... It's like a wounded sponge that has been sutured carefully together by a strange woman.
Well, actually, sponge, though, blend them up, put them on its own, so it's all just single cells, transforms back into a sponge.
This is me being silent with my jaw open at her astonishing and astounding knowledge of natural world processes.
We had long conversations before. We were at a gig at the Isis Comedy Festival.
Me and you.
Yeah, me and you. Yeah, and we had a gig and we talked about...
I'm not sure we discussed sponges at either of these events. Oxfringe was the other time we met.
Yes.
At that tremendous launch party for Oxford's Alternative Festival. And you were getting all excited over whispering Bob Harris, who was also with us in the building with his beautiful voice, weren't you? That's all I remember of that event.
It was me perving over Bob Harris in front of a room full of people, including Bob Harris, and the only person laughing was his girlfriend, who found it hilarious.
I think I was probably chuckling inwardly. I mean, if you didn't notice me actually laughing there. What I remember about that gig was afterwards being harangued by a gentleman who was a QI researcher over some factual inaccuracies in one of my poems. And since then, I've been unable to perform that poem.
What were the factual inaccuracies?
I repeated the commonly held claim that if a shark stops moving forwards, it sinks. Which obviously is nonsense the moment you begin to think about it. There are many smaller sharks which quite happily bask around and lie around on the sea floor for a while. But I believe, I have recently researched and discovered that a great white shark, for example, does need to keep moving forwards, and possibly the whale sharks and those sorts of megamouth plankton feeding jobbies. So some sharks do need to keep moving forwards, I believe. So I've been able to reintroduce the poem into my sets simply by adding the word great white in front of the word shark. And I think that may appease QI researchers around the world. Ask me a question.
Well, yeah, do sharks moonwalk?
I think if you put a shark on the moon, the last thing it would do would be to, would probably be explode or something like that due to pressure changes. If you suddenly moved a shark from its oceanic dwelling place to the moon through some teleportation process, then it would probably explode. If you took one Damien Hirst style, pickled and gently eased it into vacuum, I'm not sure how that works. Then it might just, you know, fall a sixth of the speed to the ground that it would otherwise on the Earth. Although since a shark lives in the water, it sinks slowly anyway, so it's probably used to sort of lunar gravity, isn't it? Now that we think about it, I'm not sure what the effects of living underwater to sort of gravity, whether it is one sixth of the gravity, I don't know. But you see those NASA astronauts, don't you, in there practicing in swimming pools, wearing their suits and pretending to, you know, patch up Skylab and things.
As well as being an expert on the knowledge of Apollo and sharks, you also write reviews for local media on other art things. What do you think is the key to good reviewing?
The key to good reviewing is probably turning up at the event you're reviewing and paying some sort of attention to it and then writing your 500 words at some point. That's really all the effort I put into it, to be honest, because I'm hugely of the opinion that nobody ever reads these reviews since they're on local web, they're on the Reading Evening Post's website, and I've certainly never visited it. So I can't imagine who would go and read these things. But it does get me free tickets to go and see all sorts of shows in my local area.
So what are the best reviewers in the papers, do you reckon? And the Sunday ones particularly, because that's what we kind of look at.
That is what you look at, isn't it? The ones who say intelligent things concisely and succinctly and concisely, and who speak intelligently. Without the worst reviews, I think, are the ones that include a lot of I, a lot of the reviewer in there, because the reviewer should not be in a review. Otherwise, just tell us whether it's any good or not. I would only read reviews about things that I was interested in generally. You know, oh, I know that pop group. I don't know any pop groups. but were this, for example, the mid-70s, and I saw a review, I go, oh, I know that pop group. And I'd read the review and go, that's a load of rubbish. That's nonsense. That man doesn't agree with me, or woman. I don't know there were any women in journalism in the 1970s, it being a sort of pig-headed and ignorant age. But reviews, yes. No, keep them short, I think, is the key. And tell us whether it's any good or not. And put some stars at the top. Then we don't have to even read the review when you do that. On the other hand, you could do the sort of reviews that you find in the Times Literary Supplement, which go on for pages and pages and tell you everything that's in the book already. So then you don't even need to buy the book that the review's about if you read the reviews, which is the other way. Take it to the other extreme.
Do you regularly get a Sunday paper? And if you do or don't very regularly, which one do you prefer?
No, I don't, is the simple answer. I listen to your podcast and learn everything I need to know about the Sunday papers from you and Simon. I do read a newspaper online, though, occasionally. From time to time, I have a look at the Guardian website and see what's happening in the world. But generally, Eddie Mayer on the PM programme tells me everything I need to know about the world.
One final question for you, then. If you were to put an animal in a Large Hadron Collider, which animal would it be?
Well, I think it would have to be... Oh, hang on. What about a mouse? Because we were talking about Tom and Jerry earlier, not during this interview, and very briefly in a private conversation 10 minutes before the microphone was turned on. And in Tom and Jerry, Jerry the mouse is often leapt on by the cat. And a lepton is an elementary particle. And so it would make some sort of sense to have that. Otherwise, if a mouse is a bit dull, then a snake, I think any sort of snake, they're streamlined and they're sort of accelerator shaped. And if they stretched, if you got a... How long is the LHC? 23 miles? Something like that, isn't it? 17? Probably 23 kilometres in that case, probably.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm sure one of your reader stroke listeners will.
It's 35!
Yes. And will we look like blushing idiots when we learn that fact? Goodness. If you've got a long enough snake, then it would look like the Ouroboros symbol eating its own tail, which would be very nice, wouldn't it? We'd like that. I'll tell you... Oh, okay. About the reviewing business. You can edit this backwards into the right place. It's interesting you asked me that, Izzy. I did have an interesting experience whilst reviewing. Sometimes some people do read those reviews, it turns out. I used to review for the BBC Berkshire website before the BBC stopped having local information on their local websites. I'd reviewed a production of Sweeney Todd, the musical, the Stephen Sondheim musical, produced by some Reading amateur singers thing. And I'd commented on various aspects of this production which weren't optimal, perhaps you might say, which were subpar. And there were several comments at the bottom of this website, because they always put that box on these sorts of websites saying, do you have opinions? Why not you put them up here now? Do you? Tell us you, what you think. And it turned out the people who read the reviews are the people in the shows. So there is that core group of readers. And there were all sorts of comments about how awful I was as a reviewer there for mentioning, in this particular instance, of Stephen Sondheim's musical production of Sweeney Todd. I mentioned that the sound wasn't handled very well and the microphones weren't on the right times, you couldn't hear the singers. And I was lambasted for dwelling on these peripheral matters. Instead of talking about the leading lady's costume or something. And I obviously maintain that the sound is not a peripheral matter in musical theatre. But the next season, my editor said to them, they put on My Fair Lady, said to them, do you mind if we send a review? And they said, oh, no, of course, we'd love to have a review, as long as you don't send that Ashley Harold. So I was banned from returning to review any more of their shows. So my editor had to go himself, and he hates musical theatre. So I think they've got an even worse review. And I went back the time after that and it was lovely. So there's a funny story about reviewing for you and comments boxes on the interweb.
Anyway, okay. Thank you, AF Harold. And
Mademoiselle.
That was a brilliant interview from AF Harold there. Well done. You did well. You did good.
I did very well. He is very fun. The reason why I wasn't very interrogative is because he buttered me up with cake. He made cake and I had some scones, actually.
So are you saying if I brought cake to the podcast, you'd be much nicer to me?
Of course.
Rubbish.
This is why I'm actually nasty to you, is because you don't bring me cake.
I bring you cake a lot.
You do not. Occasionally, when I lived in Bristol, you bought me profiteroles.
Occasionally,
and I would eat them all.
More like every other day, we ate profiteroles. Anyway, we're going to play Article or Farcical, but I haven't got a piece of paper to write them on, so I'm going to have to scribble it on Boris Johnson's face.
Okay.
He's on the front of Live or Live. We never know which.
Oh, I
see.
I thought you might have committed a murder.
No, he's not actually here.
Okay. I thought he might be stooped, looking up at you. Or maybe actually, Simon, you're wearing a blonde wig and you're looking in a mirror.
I don't look like Boris Johnson. He's probably quite handsome, and I'm not.
Well, he's not very handsome, and you do look like him. So well done.
Well, you look like him when your hair's wet.
That is true. There is a very good picture of me on Facebook looking like Boris Johnson, halfway through a haircut.
Yeah, all right, fine. But should we play Article or Farcical?
Yes! In this game, I will read out three articles from this Sunday's News of the World and one article which I have extracted from my bottom. And it's up to Simon to tell me which one is the article and which one is the farcicals. And you can play it along at home, readers. Are you ready? Good. Then we shall begin. Number one. Flashy Blade.
Is it about knives?
No.
Oh. Is it about Wesley Snipes?
No.
Is it about the TV series Blade?
No.
What's it about?
Grass.
Oh, okay.
Time to Preserve.
That's about jam, isn't it?
No, it's about preserving herbs.
Preserving herbs?
And time is spelled with a T-H-Y.
Oh, God. How do you preserve a herb?
You hang it up.
So you dry it out?
Yeah.
You get your lovely fresh herbs, dry them out, rather than buying your dried herbs in the supermarket. That doesn't make any sense. Number three.
Belt up, backwards boy.
I hate you so much. Belt up, backwards boy, clearly aimed at Simon, so will he fall for it? Go on, number four.
You don't want to know what that one's about?
What's that one about?
People carriers with seats facing the wrong way and children belting themselves in properly.
Right, okay.
It's just really good. And then finally, is this an article or is this a farcical? Our best man was a dog.
An actual dog?
Yes.
What sort of dog?
Very good one.
Right, what's quite funny is Boris Johnson's holding his chin with his hand, and I've written the notes on the back of his hand.
Oh, nice.
And it looks like he's got like a list of things to do to London.
Yeah, flashy blade.
Flashy blade, time to preserve, belt up backwards boy, and our best man was a dog. But he's spelled R-A-R-E, because he's an idiot. I am going to say that our best man was a dog is the one that you have viciously and maliciously extracted from your rectal passage.
Final answer?
Yeah.
All right, then. Is that what Boris would have chosen?
It's what Boris has circled, yeah.
Okay. Well, we all knew this, readers, but however nice and however much you love them, Boris Johnson and Simon Dunn is wrong. So wrong. So unbelievably wrong. Our best man was a dog. That's a completely good article. That is solid. That is good.
If it's belt up backwards, boy, I'm going to stab you in the eye.
Ow!
It wasn't, was it? Please
it
tell
was.
Me.
It was. Oh. It was. Of course it was.
Bastards.
I was just telling you to shut up. Oh, I like this game.
It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week.
That'd be me, because I've got the amazing AF Harold.
Doesn't count as a supplement though, does it?
He is a supplement. He's like the ultimate supplement. He will make you feel better when you've got a runny nose.
So he's not a supplement at all then, is he? He's a medicine.
No, because he's not main feature. No, hang on, I'm getting confused. I win. I went to Reading. Do you know how far away Reading is? That's like 40 minutes from where I was. That's a long way.
Am I supposed to be impressed that you can drive?
Yes.
But you got cake.
Yeah, I got cake and I got a nice interview and he made me laugh a lot. But that is no reason to accuse me of not having a breast up. I went. You just basically got the blooming Daily Mail or Sunday Mail, Daily Mail on Sunday, Sunday Mail daily, right? Just because the people you live with buy it anyway so you can read it.
Yeah, all right. That's a fair point. Okay. So, the newspaper you should have bought last Friday was a trip to Reading to speak to AF Harold.
Yes. Everybody, and every week you should do that.
Just turn up at his house.
Yeah. His website is quite fun. It's afharold2rs.co.uk. And also, you can find his stuff on YouTube and get his books from Amazon.
If you want to write to us, you can. It's a Sunday podcast at hotmail.com. You can leave a message on our Facebook group wall. You can leave a message on our website at sundaysupplement.com. Or, if you so desire, you can even leave us an iTunes review.
Yes. And you can also tweet us.
Tweet.
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 Tweet. We're not good at writing poetry, Simon.
I've written one poem in my life. Do you want to hear it?
Okay. Yeah, go on.
Does this rhyme? It will in time.
Yeah, but it does rhyme without much time needed, Simon.
I know, that's the cleverness of the poem, you see. It's not funny or clever. Shut
I
up.
Wrote a poem once. I wrote this when I was but a child, right? And it is a brilliant poem. It is called Victorian Murderer. And it goes, there once was a man named Jack Ripper who tended to light buttered kipper. When a lady fell dead with a blow to the head, all the clues that they found was a flipper.
How old are you?
9. I'm a genius.
Fair enough. We'll be back next week. Maybe Izzy will cheat with another interview. Maybe she won't.
I never cheat. What are you saying?
Always cheat. You're a cheater.
Not a cheater. I'm a leopard. Rawr.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Can you do poetry set down?
I can do poetry set down. I'm a multi-talented man.
Okay.
I can do things sitting down or standing up or leaning over.
Phil. Right.
Only in the mind of the of you, to be frankly. I don't think anyone hearing that was thinking filth. I shall read a poem for you now, because that's my job. This is a piece called Disillusion Yuppie. Here's the title first, and then after that comes the poem. Disillusioned Yuppie. He thought he'd feel special with his offshore bank account, but in fact, having to always use the cash point at the far end of the pier began to become to be a bit of a drag. There you are, that's one of them. And the other one, if you hold the microphone steady, The other one, this is called My Mother, and it goes like this. Again, title, then the poem in that order. My Mother. My mother always encouraged me to talk to strangers. You never know, she said, when one of them might have some sweets. And that's that then. Okay.
Super. That's excellent. And you can find more of A.F. Harold's poetry on his website, afharold2rs.co.uk.
Come and be Facebook friends and MySpace and la-di-da. And more importantly, buy my books.
Buy his books.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.